Australia is here. We'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the Government of PNG and Health.
And we work side by side with the PNGDF and their Department of Defence.
PNG and Australian governments also prioritise the need to address the issue of family and sexual violence.
Australia's assistance to Papua New Guinea really covers all sectors.
Papua New Guinea is not alone in its pursuit for gender equality. Globally, ensuring equal opportunities for women continues to be a challenge, but there are strong women and men who work tirelessly to create a fair level playing field. Empowering women can bring real change that benefits all. Welcome to AHC On Air. I'm Charmaine Misiliu, and on this month's edition, we hear from some of Papua New Guinea's strong women who work to ensure equal opportunities for women, whether it be in the workplace or in local communities. Our guests in this edition of AHC On Air include Madeline Orim, Yvonne Kennedy, and Miriam Dogimab. Madeline Orim, HR manager with Dentons, participated in Business Coalition for Women's Certificate for Leadership and Management course. Let's hear from Madeline about what that opportunity meant for her.
Thank you. I was part of the cohort 8 in the program, course certificate 4 in leadership and management. My name is, to introduce this, Madeline Orim. I'm currently the HR manager with Dentons. Dentons PNG is formerly known as Cadence, and the merge happened in December 2016. So it's quite a small office in PNG, but we've got other offices around Australia and also in other locations around the globe. And annually we select 2 to 3 lawyers to attend the CET 4 in leadership and management course. This is to develop them, help them grow into becoming senior associates, which is the another step higher than the lawyer position. And we've seen a lot of improvements, especially with confidence, changes in speech. Most of the ladies that have attended this course have given positive feedback. And so it was mostly focused on lawyers. For my case, I am, I think, fortunate that as a HR manager, got selected to attend this CET 4 course in leadership and management. And I would say thank you as well, I think, to Karen Mitchell. I know her from back in the day when I was with PwC, and Karen suggested to my managing partner, now known as partner and head of office at the time, currently Stephen Mesa. And discussions took place and I was nominated to attend the course. For me, one of the greatest achievement from the course that I've taken away is my compartmentalization skills. It is, you know, in relation to time management, prioritization, I've just been able to differentiate the type of roles and responsibilities that I have under my role, not only as a HR manager in the office, but also back home, you know, in the families. I have responsibilities as a sister, as a daughter, and I'm the person that everyone would in the family would go back to for help, not only financially, but also support in you know, backing them up in any discussion or arguments and whatnot back in the village. So being able to understand the different roles that I have and have allocate time and focus on them whenever I am faced with a certain situation. So for instance, walking into the office, I have to take off my mom hat or, you know, a sister or a spouse hat and put on my HR manager hat and just concentrate on work, focus, getting things across the line, ensuring it's done properly, quality is there, can add value to employees that I look after in the office as well. And then when I'm stepping off for lunch or for the day, I take that hat off and I'm putting on my mom hat or my sister hat, and that gets work out the door and I'm fully focused on my roles at home. And you know, I'm balancing things out, giving time to my children and my spouse and yeah, my family. So yeah, for me that's been a very great experience so far. And you know, I'm not only speaking on my experience but also on my work colleagues that have attended with me. And there was one lawyer who attended the same course and in the same cohort as me, and yeah, I've seen her grown as well, because she was one of those that I recruited, and seeing her confidence grow as well, and she's able to take on a lot more clients these days, speaking with, you know, assertiveness, and that's one of the great skills that she's worked on, you know, being able to speak up and give feedback on time to not only the partners but to her colleagues, the other lawyers in the firm as well. So that's really great to see. Yeah.
Wow. So looking back now and looking at your life before the course and your life after the course, what would be the biggest challenge you were facing, and you feel that through this course you've been able to overcome it?
Yes, the biggest challenge for me, because I'm someone who's quiet, and I'm, you know, someone also who wants to do things not perfectly but just do them well so that, you know, the expected results are achieved. And I think for me is getting things all the responsibilities just under my own, just taking them all to myself and trying to do them so perfectly. But after the course, you know, talking about delegation and also appreciating other team members' values or other team members' input. So just being able to receive the feedback from team members and work on trying to delegate and trusting my team members that, yes, we're in this together, being able to work together, collaborate, and you know, just do a lot more than what I can do individually. Yeah. So the challenge there was picking up from just trying to do everything on my own and accepting the feedback, accepting input from my team members and working together with them. Because there's always HR, there's always finance, and these are different teams. But working around to work, you know, getting the inputs and seeking advice also from them. Yeah.
So what is your outlook now for the future?
Well, for the future, I hope to still remain with Dentons. It's a great place to work, as you know, been with other organizations. I say this because I have the support from the partners. So the partners, you know, both in litigation, commercial, those are the different business units that we currently have, and they're all very supportive. And I think they're very interested in our growth as well, and they want to see us do well. And so, you know, having that support from such, you know, high-level people in the top management, that for me is very, I think it's a good step in the right direction, that I want to continue still being with Dentons, still moving, you know, growing, actually, moving forward and growing in my role.
So would you say that is something that inspires you, or do you have something in your personal life that
yes.
inspires you?
What inspires me? I have two daughters. Okay. I graduated last year in Certificate 4 in Leadership and Management, and I was pregnant at the time, and I graduated. Wow. My daughter's now 5 months old. And so, you know, knowing that these girls, they'll look up to me, and they will also depend on me, you know, being someone that can stand up for them, look out for them. And so that inspires me, knowing that there are people that depends on me as well, and that I can be a role model to them, because they're both girls, and I want to be able to show them, you know, as early as now, that they shouldn't be afraid to speak their mind, that they should be confident in what they do, and help them grow. Yeah.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
That was Madeleine Orim, a participant in the Business Coalition for Women's Certificate for Leadership and Management course. Supporting women in Papua New Guinea through leadership programs lifts up women. I spoke with Yvonne Kennedy, who is the Executive Director for Business Coalition for Women, about how Business Coalition for Women works to drive positive change for women, especially through leadership trainings and also through family and sexual violence policies.
Yvonne, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and then your role in Business Coalition for Women and a little bit about the organization as well?
So my name's Yvonne Kennedy, the Executive Director of Business Coalition for Women. But before I entered this role, I have had, 20 years experience in the not-for-profit sector, specifically looking at community development and issues around community challenges and solution building for communities. So before Business Coalition for Women, I was actually working with CIMC, Family Sexual Violence Action Committee, and we developed a resource for survivors of violence to around access to justice. And it was from there that I really got to understand the referral pathway for survivors and also the significant barriers for survivors of family and sexual violence. After that consultancy position, this position came up and I thought it really linked really well with the work that I wanted to do. One of their core pillars with Business Coalition for Women is addressing violence, and it had the backing of the business community. So I've been in this role for 2 years now, and it has really been a role that I am proud of and an organisation that I'm proud to be part of.
Thanks, Yvonne. Are you able to tell me the kinds of challenges that the leadership training that Madeleine went through seeks to kind of address for women?
So, I talked a little bit about, one of the pillars that we work with was addressing violence. The other pillar that we work with is and look to address is creating opportunities for women in leadership. And in that pillar, we have a course, which is the Certificate for in Leadership and Management. And it was through consultation with the business community we identified that there were significantly underrepresentation of women in core leadership roles in the business community. And actually the business community wanted to encourage more women in those roles, but they needed to know what were the training skills gaps. Maybe it wasn't even training skills gaps, maybe it was more about confidence of women. So this course really looks at, to unpack a lot of that. So it looks at the self, so self-reflection, looks at confidence, but then there's also around team building and organisational strategy and risk. So it does give women core competencies when it comes to negotiating at different levels within in an organisation. But it is also around confidence, being prepared to take on roles that maybe we're not comfortable with taking. And also through that process, creating networks. And it is really that networking in any community, but also specifically in Papua New Guinea, networking plays a really key role in, your career progression. So we try and encourage that with a lot of the participants as well.
How does this benefit businesses, and why should businesses engage with BCFW to help improve their workplaces?
Well, I think that for the business community, there are training facilities out there, but there aren't necessarily courses that specifically looking at women's development. It is for women who they identify in their businesses, who have potential, and who they're prepared also to mentor. So it really does come from leadership, it does come from management, and it does come from women in those organisations who want to progress into leadership positions. And so for companies who are looking for something just a little bit more than just sending someone off, getting their skills and then coming back into the organisation, it's a little bit more involved than that. So it does require someone in the organisation being prepared to also mentor and support a woman going through this course as well.
So with BCFW's work with the private sector to promote women in leadership. Can you tell me how your work on policies to address sexual harassment and family and sexual violence complements this leadership?
Yeah, so one thing we do know that if an organization doesn't have a safe working environment, it actually inhibits the progression of women in the workplace. So for example, sexual harassment is very commonplace, but sometimes people don't have a safe environment to report that it's going on. This can absolutely inhibit someone's potential to seek leadership positions. It can impact on their ability to do their work. It can impact on their team performance. So we know that certain policies that try and eradicate behaviours that do not create safe environments are really essential for women's progression. It's very similar to the family and sexual violence policy. We do know that for women who are trying to seek leadership roles, sometimes violence in the home can increase. And we need to understand that everyone needs to be supported if they're going through times such as family and sexual violence. And if an organization can provide a response, an appropriate response to someone who's experiencing family and sexual violence, then that person is more likely to stay in the organization. And that's what we want. We want people who are talented, who we've trained to a level that are supporting our organization. We want them to be retained in the organization. We want them to be active members of our business.
I can hear a lot of benefits already, but is there a particular achievement or contribution that BCF has made that you are most proud of?
And there's multiple, but I really need to share some statistics with you, because I think that if we look at the history of, I guess, women in the workplace in Papua New Guinea, we have a number of women in the workplace. But in terms of women in leadership roles, there were limited numbers of women in middle management, top management, and also at the board level. So recently we did a dive into our statistics that we've been capturing of businesses who we've worked with since 2014 up until now, and from those same companies we can see clear snapshot of what's happening for women in the workplace. And we can see in that time women in the workplace has doubled. So from 2015 we had 6% of all employees were women, it's now at 12%. For women in middle management it was 30%. And now it's 49%. In top management, there's been a slight dip. It was 35% and now it's 27%. But at the board level, it's also increased from 13% to 17%. And I do believe that our organization has contributed to those numbers, as well as other organizations who are playing their part. But I think that in itself is something that I'm particularly proud of.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Yvonne Kennedy from Business Coalition for Women. These are just two examples of some of the ways supporting women can benefit the community. Let's take a breather now, and when we return, we'll hear from Miriam Dogimab, Country Manager for Pacific Women Support Unit, PNG.
By me. So darling, darling, stay. tumble and fall. All the mountains should crumble to the sea. I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. Please, darling, stand by me.
NBC. NBC. Real PNG stories. Real PNG stories. Real PNG news. Real PNG news. NBC. Real PNG.
Welcome back to AHC on Air. Earlier, we were privileged to hear from two strong Papua New Guinean women about how they are working to lift women up in Papua New Guinea. Let's now hear from Miriam Dogimab, Country Manager for Pacific Women Support Unit PNG, about the work Australia supports for gender equality in Papua New Guinea.
What does the Pacific Women Program aim to do in its work in Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, sure. So Pacific Women Shaping Pacific Development aims to improve opportunities for political, economic, and social advancement of Pacific women. So it's not just women in Papua New Guinea, but women in 14 other Pacific Island countries.
Thanks, Miriam. So what are the outcomes that the program seeks to achieve within the country?
The program has four outcomes. The first outcome is focus on increasing women's leadership and influence in decision making. So Pacific Women has partnership with a few different organizations such as UN Women, Australian National University, like Women in Leadership Project, Bougainville Women's Federation, and through those partnerships, the program has reached over 200 women, like building their skills and confidence to take up leadership roles at the community level, as market vendors, forming associations, and also within companies as well.
So does that include Business Coalition for Women as well in that pillar?
So Business Coalition for Women actually sits in our outcome number two, which is to increase women's economic empowerment. So Business Coalition for Women plus Care Coffee Project and others, they work more on looking at getting more women to have access to financial information and services. So the program over the last 8 years has reached more than 15,000 women to get access to learnings like business, financial literacy, those kind of learnings they have. And they've also gone into developing small businesses, forming village local savings associations to learn how to save money as well, yeah, at the community level.
So that was two of the outcomes. Would you be able to let me know what number three and number four is?
So number three is to strengthen the national response to violence against women and provide expanded support services. This is our biggest pillar in terms of support. Given the context in Papua New Guinea, we understand as a program that we cannot fully get women's full potential in leadership or engagements in economic empowerment if we do not address the underlying issue of lack of women's participation, which for us in PNG, one of those is violence. So we've invested, the program is our biggest investment goes to that. And we have reached over 18,000 women and girls. They have had access to support services. So when I say support services, these are services for women and girls who experience violence. They can go to service providers and they will be provided counseling services. They will be given case management. If they need emergency repatriation, that is also part of the support they will get. And then they also get health and justice services. So they can get to a family support center and be provided medical support. So our partners that work in that area are Oxfam, Nazareth Center for Rehabilitation in Bougainville, that partners with IWDA, FHI 360, partners with a few provincial health authorities in West Sepik and Western Highlands, Family PNG that works in Leh in Morobe Province, and also is a partner to Belisi that is based in Port Moresby, and Eco Playing Field. This is one of our partners that focuses on young people, especially school-aged children, to focus on helping kids learn about respectful relationship to break that cycle of violence.
And your last outcome would be, and what does it aim to achieve?
So our last outcome is enhanced knowledge and evidence. This is to focus on informing policy and practice. So the program uses research and evidence from program data to influence how we think about influencing policies or making changes in how we're making, how we delivering program, development programs. So for example, one of our key pieces of work has been a research that was done on doing no harm. So the research focused on looking at women's economic empowerment, but stating, like I said earlier, in the context of PNG where violence is prevalent, do no harm highlights that to get meaningful engagement of women, we also have to ensure that we're not placing women who are already vulnerable at risk of violence and protecting that. So that pillar is about using evidence to guide how we do programming. Yeah.
That was Miriam Dogima from Pacific Women's Support Unit, PNG, sharing with us the work Australia supports through the Pacific Women Program. Just before we end, a note on services available for family and sexual violence response. The PNG Australia Partnership through Pacific Women Program supports local partners to provide crisis and counseling services for survivors of family and sexual violence in PNG. If you or your loved one needs help, please contact One Talk Counseling Helping Line on 7150-8000. This is a national toll-free number. In Port Moresby, Belisi PNG Case Management can be contacted on 7055-4401. There are also other services available across PNG. In Bougainville, you can contact Nazareth Center for Rehabilitation on 7474-3889. There are support centers in Arawa, Buin, Buka, and Chabai. In Wewak, East Sepik, you can contact Family for Change on 7141-8913. And in Leh, the Family PNG's Case Management Center can be reached on 7080-5378. That's how we end this month's edition of AHC on Air. Till then, I'm Charmaine Misiliu. Join us again next month for another edition of AHC on Air on NBC Radio.
Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the Government of PNG in Health.
And we work side by side with the PNGDF and their Department of Defence.
PNG and Australian governments also prioritise the need to address the issue of family and sexual violence.
Australia's assistance to Papua New Guinea really covers all sectors.